But Isaiah chapter number 14 and verse number 12, Isaiah 14 and verse number 12, we learn a little bit about the devil. And you be in prayer for our young people. We're going to abbreviate the morning service just a little bit. So two of the songs, Brother Nathan, if we can just sing first and last verse on two of the songs, and that'll shorten our service a little bit. We want to be sending people out the door at 11:30. Also, I want to remind you that on the way out, we're going to be handing everybody a little baggie that has three tracks in it, three gospel tracks. Amen. And this week, the track is Somebody Goofed. And I think a perfect track for Roaring Lion Sunday. All of the teachers are teaching through that gospel track this morning, along with, of course, using the Bible and letting our young people know about the deceptiveness of the devil. Now, in Isaiah chapter 14, in verse number 12, we are introduced to someone named Lucifer. Isaiah 14, 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. Boy, this is where he gets in trouble. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us as we learn about our enemy. We understand a little bit more about him. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be aware of his destructive power, of his deceptiveness. And Lord, if it wasn't for you, dear God, and your restraining hand, he would destroy us. He hates us. He hates the children of God. And he's been doing what he's been doing for a long time. And so, Lord, I pray that we would learn, would be aware, we wouldn't be ignorant of his devices, and we would have a better understanding of who the devil is by the time we get done with this lesson this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The devil was once one of God's archangels. His name at that time was Lucifer. That means that God created Lucifer. God created him the same way he created Michael the archangel and Gabriel the archangel. There used to be three archangels. And the Bible, if we did a little bit more extensive study, we find out that Lucifer was the most beautiful of all of the angels. He is called here in this portion of Scripture the son of the morning. Also, he was the archangel that was in charge of the music in heaven. By the way, it shouldn't surprise us that once he fell, he uses music. He uses a perverted version of music to try to lure people to follow him. And so the devil was once one of God's archangels. His name was Lucifer. Lucifer means brightness or morning star. And many believe he was, as I've mentioned, the most beautiful of the angels that God created. But wait a minute. Lucifer began to resent being under God's authority. Now, folks, listen to me. God created each and every one of us to be under authority. Let me say that again. God created each and every one of us to be under authority. When we're born as children, you know what we're told by the Bible? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And you know what? You're never going to get to a point in life where you are not under some type of God-ordained authority in your life. And you know what the devil did? He resented that. When you begin to resent being under God-ordained authority, you better remember where that's coming from, okay? Keep a humble heart. Keep a submissive heart, okay? Because this is where the devil got in trouble. You know what? He didn't want to be inferior to God. He wanted to be equal with God. You say, preacher, I can't imagine somebody doing that. Oh, mankind's doing it all the time. Right. Do you know how many men, do you know how many people live on this planet right now resent the idea of being submissive to God? They don't want to be under God. They don't want to be under the authority of God's word. You know what? They want to be like unto God. They want to make their own decisions, decide what's right and wrong for them. And they resent being under God-ordained authority. He became proud. He began to boast of what he would do and what he would become. First of all, he says in here, he said in verse number 13, "For thou hast said in thine heart," be careful, that's where it starts. Listen, before it ever comes out of his lips, it starts in his heart, started in his heart. "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven." Now, that reference to the stars of heaven simply means the other angels. So you know what? I don't want to be equal with the other archangels. I mean, God had already granted him authority in heaven and prominent position in heaven and created him in a very unique way to bring glory and honor to God. But it wasn't good enough. I want to be above all of the other angels. I want to be above. I don't like being equal with Michael. I don't want to be equal with Gabriel. I want to be above that. And folks, listen to me again. Be very careful, because rebellion, this is what the Bible warns us. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, which means it's a satanic-based sin. Now, we can go break down all of the different areas. You know, it's easy for parents all to sit there and nod when I'm talking about, yeah, children are to obey your parents. Well, what about Ephesians chapter 5? It tells us that wives are to submit themselves to their husbands in the Lord. And all of a sudden, sometimes it gets a little quieter then, you know. Well, within the home, there is a God-ordained authority, folks. Within the church, there is a God-ordained authority. And when we begin to resent that and we begin to say, you know what, I don't want to be under that. I want to be equal with that. I want to be above that. That's where we get in trouble. And so this is where what began to happen in the heart of the devil. And you know what? Notice in this passage the number of times I and my appear when he begins to start speaking what is in his heart. In verse number 13, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Verse 14, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And yet, here's what God says, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit." And we can go all the way back, and I don't know if I have time to get there in our study, but that prophecy right there comes to pass in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, where finally Satan is put in his place. And you know what? He's cast into the lake of fire, and there he'll spend the rest of eternity there. But for now, folks, he's not there. He is that roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Because of Lucifer's pride and rebellion against God, God cast him out of heaven. Lucifer's sinful pride caused other angels to follow him. By the way, he had influence, and he used that influence not only to rebel against God, but to talk some of the other angels in rebelling against God, to the point where one third of the angels of heaven followed Lucifer out of heaven. Go to the book of Revelation, if you will, Revelation chapter number 12. Revelation chapter number 12, that's the very last book in the New Testament, Revelation chapter 12, and again, we're told a little bit about the devil and his fall. In Revelation chapter number 12, if you'll look in verse number 1, Revelation 12, 1. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun," Revelation 12, 1. "And the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered." By the way, this woman represents Israel, 12 stars, a crown of 12 stars. Of course, the child that she's travailing in birth to bring is the Messiah. And then in verse number 3, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven." Again, the stars of heaven referring to the angels. "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be devoured, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." And you know what I found out about rebels? Rebels never want to just rebel by themselves. Right. And rebels aren't satisfied without having a following. Isn't it interesting? The one who doesn't want to follow wants to have a following. Right. I always think that's kind of interesting, isn't it? You know, so you know what he does? He uses his influence to deceive the very angels of God. These are the ones that have stood before the throne of God and seen the holiness of God. And folks, listen to me. I've never stood before the throne of God and seen the holiness of God. And if the devil is such a deceiver that he could deceive a third of the angels, I think me and you ought to be very careful and cautious when dealing with the devil. Instead of Lucifer, the brightness, the morning star, he became known as Satan. He became known as the deceiver. Here he's called the dragon. He becomes the enemy of God. Now, there's several things I want you to know about the devil. You say, preacher, well, who is he? Number one, the devil is the master of disguise. The master of disguise. Now, I've got you in Revelation. I'm going to take you all the way to the other part of the Bible, the other end of the Bible. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. It's good that you turn pages because it keeps you awake in Sunday school. Amen. Genesis chapter number 3. I know some of you have been working hard, bus workers. You've had an early morning. You finally get a chance to sit down. Hey, let's not let the devil put us to sleep so we don't learn about him, okay? He is now the master of disguise. I think it's interesting that the first appearance that he makes, he does not appear as himself, but he appears as a serpent. That should teach us something. We're going to learn something about the devil. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1, now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, hath God. Isn't it interesting? The very first words that comes out of his mouth, yea, hath God said, begins to question the words of God. Now hold on to that thought for a minute. The devil is a master of disguise. Look right up here. This is not what the devil looks like.
Right.
All right. Just so you know, okay? He would like for you to believe this is what he looks like. Because I think most Americans are convinced he does, and so they keep a lookout for this guy right here, and since they've never seen him, they figure he doesn't exist. This is not what the devil looks like. Okay, that is man's idea of the devil. That is some cartoonist drawing of the devil. But folks, listen to me. He does not appear the way that you might think he might appear. He is the master of disguise. And so he comes slithering up to Eve, and he is in the form of a serpent. He's in the form of a serpent. And he begins to question the words of God. Now, let's read on down here. Verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, ye may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, watch this, ye shall not surely die. Well, God said, ye shall surely die. The devil saying, ye shall not surely die. For then he says this, he begins to bring accusation against God. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and ye shall be as gods. Boy, it sounds like that's what he wanted, right? Knowing good and evil. What that means is knowing or determining or discerning good and evil for yourself. And what he's saying is this, you know what? The reason God doesn't want you to take of that fruit is he's keeping something from you that you're deserving of. He knows that if you partake of this fruit, that your eyes will be open. Hey, the God of heaven has blinded you. He's holding back something that you can't see. And you know what? He knows that if you eat this, you can become equal to him. You can become as a God yourself. And you can decide what's good and evil instead of God declaring what's good and evil. Now, wait a minute, folks. The devil has not changed his tactics much at all. And you, this is what every young person that graduates Blessed Hope Baptist School, whether they are raised. Listen, homeschoolers, thank you for about doing what you're doing and protecting your children and keep them out of this nonsense. But I promise you, we're not going to protect our children forever from somebody that's going to get to them and come to them and start trying to get them to question the words of God.
Yes, sir.
You went to that Christian school, didn't you? You know why your parents put you in that Christian school? You know why your parents homeschooled you all those years? because they didn't want you to know the truth. They were keeping something back from you. They didn't want your eyes to be open. You know, you need to learn some things because you can become your own God. Right. You can decide what's right. You can decide what's wrong. This is what they'll say. When are you going to stop letting that preacher down at the church tell you what to think? And all of a sudden, man, let's take a step. Oh, wait a minute. Have I been deceived? Is that what I'm doing? Folks, listen to me. It isn't the preacher down at the church that's trying to tell you what to think. It's the preacher preaching the word of God. And this book better tell you what to think. Now, every single person in this room is going to have to make a decision, okay? Are you going to believe the words of God? Or are you going to believe the devil who attacks the words of God? Well, I know the Bible says that this is wrong, but I just don't see it that way. Oh, really? Well, when did you decide you didn't see it that way? By the way, who convinced you of that? Well, I just decided for myself. Oh, did you think it or did you hear it? Did it just pop in your mind one day? Were you sitting in a public school, high school? Public school, a biology class, and have some devil disguised as a science teacher get up there and make a mockery of the book of Genesis and tell you that, you know what, if you were intellectual, you would believe in evolution. And anybody who believes in the creation story just believes in a bunch of fables. Now, who are you going to believe? You know what my King James Holy Bible says? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Amen.
That's what God's word says. And the devil is always going to attack the words of God and try to get you to doubt the words of God. That's why the very first thing that came out of his mouth is this. Yea, hath God said? Is that what he really said? Is that what he really meant? Is that what that really means? You know, think about it. And then he began, after he gets us to question the word of God, he comes right out and declares God to be a liar. You know, folks, listen to me. He questioned God's word, then he lied to her. He told Eve a lie. He said, "Ye shall not surely die." Now, God said, if you partake of the fruit, you're going to die. The devil says, if you partake of the fruit, you're not going to die. Folks, somebody's lying. Somebody's lying. Then he began to tempt her to do the very thing that God said not to do. Now, folks, how is this any different today than how he attacks every young person growing up, every one of us? He'll come along us and get us to try to doubt parts of the Bible. Well, I know the Bible says that. Come on. I mentioned just a minute ago, you know, a simple verse. By the way, don't get mad at me. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 and see whether or not God constructed the home for the man to be the leader of the home and the wife to be in submission to the man. Right. Listen, if you don't like that, I guess rip it out of your Bible. But don't get mad at me. Right. Sometimes people go, I'm not going back to that church because that preacher said this. Listen, don't use me as an excuse to quit going to church.
Right.
At least be honest enough to say, I'm not going back to that church because that preacher actually preaches what's in the Bible and I don't want to hear it because I don't believe it. Well, why don't you believe it? Who has convinced you not to believe it? Now, this is what we better... What are you doing this morning, preacher? I'm pulling back the curtains.
Amen.
I'm trying to get you to understand the devil is a roaring lion.
Amen.
If he can get you to not believe that part, then you know what he'll do? A week later, he'll come back with another part of the Bible. Well, I don't see if there's anything wrong with drinking as long as you do it in moderation. Well, my Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And so now, again, you've got an opinion. Where'd you get that opinion, by the way? You probably heard your parents or your grandparents or somebody say it. And so you're walking around parroting something that is against the word of God, that is... tries to cast doubt on the word of God. We've got a bunch of folks walking all over this community. I don't see anything wrong with this, and I don't see anything wrong with that, and I don't see anything wrong with this, and I don't see anything wrong with that. And everything they're saying in the Bible, I can take you to the Bible and show you where God directly commands us not to do those things. Now, everybody's going to have to make a decision. By the way, it'd be good for every single one of us, you know, just to get back into this Bible and decide to read it and believe it as God's word. And by the way, if I'm reading this book and it says something that I've had a different opinion about, what I need to do is change my opinion about that and agree with God. Because every command, listen, I want you to understand this. God loves you. And if God commanded something for you not to do, it is to protect you. The devil hates you. And so he knows if he can get you to ignore the commands of God that are, by the way, like a safe fence, okay, around you. And he gets you to go outside and do the things that God said not to do. God loves you. Don't do this because it will hurt you. The devil comes along and says, God is a liar and there's nothing wrong with it. Go ahead and do it. And you do it and it hurts you. And then he laughs. The devil laughs because he wants to destroy your life. And boy, I'm going to tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to see a young person grow up in church and just decide, hey, you know what? I'm just going to follow the word of God. I'm going to read it every day. If God says not to do something, I'm not going to do it. If God says to do something, I'm going to do it. Whether I understand it or not, I'm just going to obey God and trust God. And you know what? Anybody that comes to me and tries to talk me out of it, I'm going to know who's sinning. I'm going to know that's the voice of the devil. Well, if we could just get that in the hearts, pray for our Sunday school classes right now. If we could just get that across, if that one truth could get in the hearts of our young people today, that God loves you and everything he's put in this Bible is to so he can bless you and help you and to protect you from the devil, who's a roaring lion walking around seeking whom he may devour. And if anybody comes to that, I don't care who it is, older brother and sister, I don't care if it's a cousin or an uncle, I don't care if it's their quote-unquote best friend in school, I don't care if it's a teacher, come on, standing behind a lectern. And by the way, God pity those men and women in our public school system that's up there lying to our young people about things like evolution. And trying to make things that are wicked seem normal. I mean, lying about the sin of homosexuality. Lying to them about it. Lying to them that there's more than two genders. God only created two genders. Male and female created he them. Lying to them. Saying the Bible's not true. You need to listen to us. And we need a bunch of young people that'll just stand up and say, you know what? Let God be true and every man a liar. And if this book says it, I believe it. And by the way, if you say it's not true, you know what? I know who sent you and I know who you're working for. And man, it really is that easy. The devil hasn't changed, folks. He's the master of disguise, but you know what? He doesn't always come in the form that we might think he would come. He's not going to show up in the classroom looking like this. Okay? He's not going to come up beside you and sit at the lunch table and look like this. Now, a matter of fact, if you'll go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, this is important portion of scripture. Let's look at it. Let's look at some of these this morning. Maybe you'll mark them in your Bible because, well, we need to expose the devil. He's gotten by with this way too much. And it's about time some preachers got to the pulpit and you know what? Pulled the curtain back and exposed him for who he is. He is a master of disguise. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Look at verse number 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 13. Watch this. For such are false apostles. Now think about that. God called some men to be apostles. These are church fathers. These are men that preach the word of God, preach the truth. Well, just like God called some apostles, the devil calls some false apostles. Deceitful workers. Watch this. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So in other words, folks, there are going to be people, and there are in this community today, please listen to me, who have the title of pastor or reverend or minister or preacher. And you know what? They are not called by God and they do not preach God's words. And the devil has called his men into the ministry, just like God has called his men into the ministry. Look, by the way, look at verse number 14. Goes on to say, and no marvel. In other words, this shouldn't surprise you. Why wouldn't he? He's the deceiver. He's the master of disguise. For Satan himself is transformed into an what? Angel of light. So you know what? The devil comes across as religious. You know what? The devil, come on, quotes the word of God sometimes. I mean, he did it to Jesus. Do you realize the third time he came to Jesus, he actually quoted the Bible to Jesus Christ to try to get him to do something he shouldn't have done? And there'll be people that misquote the Bible or take it out of context and use part of a verse here and part of a verse there to try to convince you to do something that the Bible is against. So there are some false apostles right now, as I'm standing in this pulpit. There are false apostles and false preachers. Come on. I call them, you know, fake teachers and false preachers that are standing behind pulpits, and they are declaring to a group of people something other than the Bible truly says. I mean, they're telling some of them, hey, all you've got to do is come up, get in line, come up here, let me put this little wafer on your tongue and drink this little juice, and you know what? You're going to be good. You're going to go to heaven. All you got to do is go over in this little closet over here and whisper your sins to a man, and that man can forgive your sins, and then you'll be all right for another week, and you'll be ready to go to heaven. Folks, I'm sorry, you won't find that in the Bible. Amen. They'll stand there and tell you that there's a place called purgatory. If you don't believe me, then get in your Bible this week and show up next Sunday and show me where purgatory is in the Bible. There's either heaven or there's hell. You don't get a second chance. Okay, nobody's going to pray you or pay your way out of purgatory. Okay, preacher, I've never heard anything like this. Listen, we better get back to this book. The devil has created all kinds of false teachings and false religions that are sending people to hell by the millions. And the people that are preaching this stuff will tell you that they are messengers of Christ. They are angels of light. And they're not. And you know why? Because I know I've belabored this point, but hey, we better understand the devil is the master of disguise. Let me go quickly. He's the father of all lies. John chapter 8, save us a little time, I'll read this. John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he, speaking of the devil, is a liar and the father of it. And then Jesus went on to say this. Boy, this is sad. John 8:45. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. You know, I think many a preacher probably ought to choose that as their life verse. You know, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. So you've got preachers that are preaching the word of God and people won't believe them. The devil telling them a bunch of lies and they believe them. Folks, you better understand what's on the end of that road. He's lying to you because he wants you to end up burning forever in a devil's hell with him. That's his goal. And so, folks, you got to understand that the devil is a liar. What did he do? He came and he lied to Eve. You know why? Because he's a liar. He's a liar. The men Jesus was speaking to in this portion of scripture believed the devil and would not believe Jesus. They called Jesus a liar and believed the devil. And every single one of us, boy, again, it goes back to such a simple thing. We've got to decide, am I going to believe Jesus or am I going to believe the devil? Jesus, the word of God, by the way, Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word. You know what Jesus, you know what God's word tells us? Each and every one of us is a sinner. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. You know what? That's pretty plain. You know what the devil will immediately set on your shoulder and say? Ah, you're not so bad. Who's that preacher think he is? I'll tell you what, who I think I am. A sinner. You know why? Because the Bible says I am. Amen. That's what you better think too. Right, sir. Okay, we're all in the same boat here, folks. Right. Jesus is going to come to you and say this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, the Bible doesn't just condemn us as sinners and leave us there. Right. But we have to understand that we're a sinner before we're going to understand that we need to be saved. Right. You know what? Yes, we're a sinner. That's why Jesus came. Because God loved us so much, he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, so that if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you know what, we can be saved. But wait a minute, not the devil. Not the devil. He's not gonna say, amen, that's good. You know, that's no, he's gonna come to you and say, hey, God doesn't really love you. If God loved you, then why did he let this happen? Why does this happen? Why did this terrible thing happen? See, God's not a God of love. Folks, listen to me. Every bad thing that's ever happened on this planet, listen to me, is not because of God. First of all, it is because of the devil. He'll do evil and then turn around and blame God for it. But folks, listen to me. Most of what happens in life is a consequence of something called sin that came into this earth, but because of our choices. Okay, so we've made choices and sin has consequences. Come on now. And then the devil wreaks havoc and everybody's sitting around blaming God for it. You know what? Jesus will say this, hey, you can be saved today. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hey, you believe that Jesus loved you, that he was the Son of God. He died on the cross for your sins, was buried, rose again. The third day, he offers the gift of eternal life. All you got to do is decide you're going to turn from your sin to Christ and receive him as your personal Savior. And you can be saved today. If you're not saved, you can be saved today. And wait, right now. You know what the devil's doing? Don't listen to that. It's not that easy. You don't need that. You're good enough. You're good enough the way you are. I mean, you're not as bad as that person. You're not as bad as that person. And you give to this and you're part of this organization and you help the community this way and you volunteer for this. And you're not bad. You're not so bad. You can make it to heaven without having to get saved. There's more than one way. No, there's not. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, folks, listen to me. Once we do get saved, let's close with this thought, kind of where we are at, our big theme. But the devil, who is he, preacher? He is now that roaring lion. And you know what? I had a man say this to me once, and I think it made sense. He said, you know what? The devil has plan A, and if plan A don't work, he has plan B. What was plan A? To keep you from getting saved. And you know what? If you receive Christ as your Savior, guess what? You know what? Plan A didn't work. Thank God you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And he can't do a thing about that. Right. You know, as far as eternity, you know what? You are secure in Christ. He's not going to drag you to hell. You're going to be forever in heaven. So since plan A didn't work, what's plan B? Okay, well, I can't change the fact that they're a Christian. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to destroy their life as a Christian. I'm going to try to ruin their testimony. I'm going to try to make sure they have no influence for the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. And that's where every single one of us that are saved, well, we need to take heed. Because that devil is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And folks, listen, you know what? I've watched tremendous Christians. I mean serving Christians. I mean soul winning Christians. I've watched them fall for a trap of the devil and absolutely ruin their life and destroy their testimony. Come on, you could tell stories. I could tell stories. I have watched some. And by the way, I don't think false apostles. I think sincere, saved men of God preaching in pulpits, making a difference, making an impact, seeing people saved. And the devil lay a trap for them and ruin their testimony and ruin their life and curtail the vast majority of what they could accomplish for Christ in their life. Listen, let's every single one of us be careful, because the devil will lie to us too. And he'll tell us, you know what, I know the Bible says this, but it's not going to hurt. I mean, this little sin's not a big deal. Look at all that you do for God. Look at how much time you spend serving the Lord. This one little secret sin isn't going to matter that much. And he's going to lay a trap. And by the way, listen, if we're not careful, we'll end up with a ruined testimony. Now let's watch out for each other. Let's stick to the word of God. Let's be very diligent to obey it. Listen, Christians, let's keep our heart pure. Let's keep our heart clean. Let's keep our hands clean before the Lord. Let's keep an assured account with the Lord. Come on, if you have some unconfessed sins, let's not let the sun set today without getting those things right. You've got some secret sin. Well, my wife don't know about it. My kids don't know about it. And the preacher don't know about it. Let me tell you who does know about it. God Almighty knows about it. And let's not be fooled by the devil in that regard. Let's make sure that we keep ourselves pure and clean and right before the Lord. You know what? Because, folks, listen to me. Every one of you is important, and God has a plan for your life. And every one of you can have great influence for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can bring many people to Christ. And the devil knows that, and he's scared of that. That's why he is that roaring lion. Be careful, be careful, be careful, okay? Because be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That roaring lion. If you get a chance, follow the buses over. Take your kids after the morning service, the 10:30 service. We'll follow the buses over. You can take your kids over to walk through, do the quick walk through, and see them lions. Last time I was over there, I took a couple of our missionary families and took them over there and walked them through there so their kids could see all of that. Both times I was over there, you know what? We got about halfway through, and one of them lions, you can hear them building it up. They start out by just, I'm not going to try to do it because, I'm not a real good lion imitation, but they'll start by huffing. They're building it up. Oh, oh, and they'll build it up, and all of a sudden they'll let out with a roar. And I'm going to tell you something. The hair will just stand right up on the back of your neck. And when I want our kids to hear that. I want them, when they hear that, to think about, hey, you know what? You got an enemy. And that devil wants to tear your life up, ruin your life. You know what? Let's stay in the protection of God's word. Let's just, hey, if God says not to do it, let's not do it. If God says to do it, let's just do it. Whether we understand it or not, let's just do it. Because you know what? That's what protects us from that roaring lion. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for including in the Bible these scriptures and others we didn't get to that warn us about the devil. And Lord, I've watched him just wreak havoc with people's lives. And I've watched him destroy so much. But Lord, I've also watched people come to a point in time in their life where they said, you know what, I'm tired of the devil destroying my life. I'm going to give my life, my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to get into the Word of God. I'm going to start living according to the precepts and principles of the Bible. And Lord, I've watched, instead of their life being marred and scarred, Lord, I've watched the blessings of God begin to flow. And I've watched you heal marriages. I've watched you turn rebellious kids around. I've watched, Lord, so many miracles. I watched a life that used to bring shame to the Lord. I've watched those lives bring glory and honor to the Lord and bring many people to Christ. And Lord, the devil will sit on somebody's shoulder and say, you've gone down the road too far and it's too late. And you know, that's not true. I pray if there's anybody here, Lord, that's never received you as Savior, today they'd be saved. I pray for the children, our teenagers that are listening to these lessons, Lord, that they would give their life to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.